Folks, this morning our candle represents the angel and the angelic host, literally, which appeared to the shepherds out in the field. I hope you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8 and going through verse 14. I want you to listen to the Word of God. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round of them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Don't you be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. He'll be lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wow. Folks, as you and I focus our thoughts this time of year on the coming of Jesus Christ, we have to look at the characteristics of that angel and what he taught those shepherds out there in the field. Now, just imagine for a moment with me of actually being a shepherd. Now, that profession was the dirtiest of all profession. It was a 24/7 job. They literally lived with the sheep so much that the sheep knew the shepherd. They would respond to the shepherd's command. They would follow him with their very lives because they knew their lives depended on the care of that shepherd. So the shepherd is out doing what he normally does, his work. He is out shepherding the flock. And can you imagine standing out there in the fields doing your job and out of nowhere, you're just minding your own business, and out of nowhere, here shows up an angel. Now, you know you're not going crazy because the other shepherds can see the angel and hear him. And once the angel finishes his greeting, the sky is filled with angels everywhere. How would you feel? How would you feel with that kind of experience in your life? Well, I want to in some way help you to feel that way a little this morning. I want you to join me in our hearts and in our minds and stand out there in those fields on that evening and be off to the side, and I want us to watch and listen closely to the appearance of the angel to the shepherd, and as the sky becomes filled with an angelic host, and they begin praising God like never before. And in your outline this morning, I have got three ways I want you to do that with me. And the first way is listed as we look at the main theme of this whole message this morning. Glory to God in the highest. Emmanuel, Yahweh, God is here. Well, in so doing, I want us to look first at the angel's what? Appearance. The angel's appearance. Verse 9 says this, "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid." So in that A blank right down there, the first part of the appearance of the angel, I want you to write the word authority down there. Look at the Word of God. Notice what it says. An angel of the Lord did what? Came upon them, King James, New King James translates it, stood before them. Literally, the Greek word used here is a little word which is translated to be instant, to appear out of nowhere, to literally stand as in stand in authority over. Matter of fact, it is the same word used in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, when Paul talks to his young protege about what it means to preach the word. He used the term ready. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, "Preach the word, be epistemi," which is this word right here that is used literally to stand before, to be ready, to stand in front of without question. Folks, that angel didn't just show up as simply an angel. That would have been good enough. But he stood up. He was the angel from who? God, an angel of the Lord. He came to those shepherds with the authority of God. Now, can you imagine? Here is an angel standing there with these shepherds. We're not told how many there were, so we don't know how many shepherds there were. We're told there's one angel. We're not given the name of that angel. Just one angel. And he's standing there, and he shows up. And the first thing is to understand about this, he comes in the authority of God to these men, to these shepherds. He stood before them with that kind of authority. But then in the second blank, in B, I want you to write the word glory. You see, the second characteristic of the appearance, literally, is not that he was the authoritative point of who God was. He came in the very glory of the Lord that shone around them. Now, did you see that? And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, all of them. The glory of God filled that pasture land, that field. The Greek word for glory is the word doxa. It refers back to the presence of God in leading the children of Israel away from Egypt. It refers to the very Shekinah glory of God, the brightness, literally, of what the word means. And for the human, true brightness of the glory of God is blinding. I take you back with me to Paul as he was on his way to Damascus and he was saved. Acts chapter 22, verse 11, and Paul says this, "And since I could not see for the doxa, the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus." The Shekinah glory of God is a blinding light. I can only imagine those shepherds. Don't you think they were doing this? Have you ever been in a situation where a bright light is in your face, in particular the sun, and you're doing this trying to see? Michael, our son, as a police officer, carries an LED light that has to be the brightest flashlight I've ever seen. And he'll take that thing and use it, and it can light up about anywhere he wants it to light up. But if he puts that thing in your face, guess what? You can't see anything around you. You are blinded, which is the idea. When that light goes in your face by Michael as a Cobb County police officer, all of a sudden around you is black. It is dark. You are blinded. And I thought, that's just a little bit of an understanding of the Shekinah glory of God. Now, folks, here are these shepherds minding their own business. They didn't go out there that night expecting all this to happen. And now the angel of the Lord is standing with authority before him. That angel is, and they are literally engulfed in the Shekinah glory of God. It is beyond everything. What would be your response? Well, probably the same thing the shepherds was. Number three, write the word fear down there. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but if I'm a shepherd and I'm doing my job like I've done for humpteen, whatever years it's been getting them done, and I'm out there and all of a sudden an angel shows up, I'm already frightened enough because the angel showed up, you know? But then he starts talking, and better than that, you know, Matthew and Pam and Danny and all y'all can hear that angel, I'm going to be scared, a little frightened here, never quite experienced that before. And that's exactly what the word means, but it's got a double meaning. The word for fear is the word in the Greek phobeo, or as we get our word phobia, a fear. Now, that word is translated two ways. Number one, it's translated literally as fear from the standpoint of awe of God, and it's also translated as being just simply scared to death. But notice what the book says right here. The Bible says, and they were what? King James uses the word what? Sore. New King James says, afraid. That word soar is the Greek word mega, M-E-G-A. We get megaphone, big telephone, big thing you yell out of. Mega means extreme. Mega puts the extreme on the word that it modifies. And it says mega. When you put megaphobia on there and you put them together, you've got somebody scared out of their skin. That's just about what it is. Have you ever been so frightened you're trembling? That's what these men were. They were afraid at this point. Scared, concerned, realizing what is going on around them, realizing this is from God, but realizing this is fear. What's going to happen? And that's the appearance of the angel. You've got to see that from a human understanding of minding your own business, of doing your thing, of shepherding that flock, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord shows up with an authority, with a glory that's surrounding all of them. The Shekinah glory of God, and what did it cause? A double response, all from the standpoint of, whoa, wow. And then fear, what's going to happen next? Well, I get to tell you what's going to happen next. You see, in the second place this morning, it's not only the appearance of the angel, literally. We move literally to the angel's message. The angel's message, write that word message in the second point. And in verses 10 to 12, don't be afraid, he told the shepherds. Behold, I'm bringing you good tidings of mega joy. I love that. Which shall be for everyone. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The first part of that angel's message was to dispel the last part of what I just told you about his appearance. Those men were terrified. And the angel said, do not fear. Do not fear. Wow. It's neat for us to be able to say, you know, Matthew, don't be afraid, you know? Or Miss Kathy, you don't have to worry about being afraid. And we can share that with each other. But can you imagine an angel of God telling you that? I don't know how he would say it. I think about stuff like that, folks. I think about being with those shepherds. How would his voice have sounded? Do not fear. Don't fear, guys. Hey, it's okay. Or just did he say, do not fear? And he used the same word, phobeo, literally. That's in the first person in the Greek, but it literally means don't be afraid. It's okay. It's okay. What calming words to those shepherds. What relaxing, calming words to those men who were literally shaking, terrified. And the angel said, don't be afraid. He said, you just listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. And folks, the same message is for you and me today. We live in a world where we're afraid for our safety, for everything we face. And I believe that angel, though not physically present as with those shepherds, is in this house today. And that angel of God is constantly telling all of us, folks, don't be afraid. We've got every reason in the world to be afraid. But don't be afraid. Well, folks, I believe the angel had the shepherds' undivided attention. I believe everything was dropped. You talking about focusing on something? I don't think those angels were thinking about what they were going to eat when they got home, what they had to do when they got home later, or when they got. They were focused on that angel because they wanted to hear that angel's message. And the second part of the angel's message is this, in part B. It's great joy. Now there's that mega. Mega kara in the Greek. I love that word. Kara is joy. But it's joy. It's not happiness from the standpoint. A child of God, excuse me, an unbeliever cannot experience kara or joy. A person who doesn't know Jesus Christ can't understand how that when the world's falling apart, we can have joy. Because it's a spiritual gift to the child of God. And it comes from the depths of your heart. It don't go in from outside. It comes from outside in. But notice what that angel said. He said, gentlemen, Maybe not quite using that word. I've got for you good news of mega joy. Great joy. Without question. The biggest joy you can ever, ever, ever experience. God has sent His one and only Son into this world for our sin death penalty and to save us from our sin. And He, I believe in His heart, that angel was saying, believe and know this night He's born in Bethlehem. But I want to show you something wonderful about the angel's choice of words. The word chara, C-H-A-R-A, as we write it in English, is the word literally for joy. The word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, all from the same root. Guess what that word is translated? Grace. Folks, you see, my heart tells me this. When that angel stood to those shepherds, the angel was telling the shepherd, grace is born in Bethlehem. The one who will save you from your sin, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the grace of God has left heaven and become man, and that's happening right now in Bethlehem. Wow! Can you imagine? Can you imagine? So the angel said, don't be afraid, do not fear. This message of great joy, and the part C down there in your outline is Jesus' birth. He told them what's happening, that the very Son of God, Jesus' birth. In verse 11 it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christos Kyrios, the angel proclaimed. Christos, what does that sound like? Christ, Kyrios. Lord, kos. Kyrios is the word for Lord. And he says, Christos Kyrios is born in Bethlehem, the Lord Christ. Wow. God has come in the flesh, and he's born in Bethlehem. And can you imagine, the God of this universe chose the lowliest, dirtiest people on the face of this earth to proclaim His coming to this earth the first time to. He didn't go to kings, He didn't go to queens, He didn't go to the state, house, or senate. He went to the lowest of people and He said, guess what, guys? Jesus, the Christ, is born in Bethlehem. I love it. I love it. I'd love to have been standing, and I hope you are in your mind and heart out there in those fields and watching those men. Did you see them change from this scared, trembling to, would your mouth, I mean, what would you, my mouth would have been dropped. You know, I can't believe this is happening, you know. This is the way we're human, folks. That's how we would react, without question, because now Jesus Christ is born. And then I want to tell you the fourth thing here, which hold on to your seats. Write the word sign down there, the sign. You remember last week I told you about Ahaz? God said, I'm going to show you a sign, Ahaz. You don't believe, I know. And Ahaz was not a believer. You go back and look at that. But God said, I'm going to show you the sign, and the sign is, and it's going to be a little babe born in a manger, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel. Now I want you to look at the wording of Luke chapter 2, verse 12. You have your Bibles. And this will be the sign to you. Definite article. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God's sign to Ahaz, without question, was fulfilled when the angel said what he said. Because he said, you remember that sign years ago? The word sign, I had to do some more research. I wanted to look up this thing just to be sure what I'm about to tell you is true. The word sign is a little Greek word pronounced simeon, or simeon, literally is the way it's pronounced. And it's translated as an event which is regarded as having some special meaning. And in the New Testament and the Old Testament, but in particular in the Greek, the word is used to refer to a miracle, that which was divinely orchestrated. So the angel, look what that angel is saying. Hey guys, don't be afraid. I got good news of great joy. Jesus is born. And you remember all that stuff about the prophet Isaiah and his prophecy, the sign? Here it is. There is the sign. And that sign is Jesus Christ the Lord. They knew exactly what he was talking about. Those shepherds were no dummies. They knew exactly when he said the sign. The sign is thus not some way you'll discover. You know, I used to think the sign there was just the way you'd recognize him. Folks, they wrapped babies in swaddling clothes everywhere in the first century. What was so different about this? It was a semeion, a sign, and it was God's sign. It wasn't man's sign because this child was different. The process of wrapping one literally in the swaddling clothes. These swaddling clothes were strips of linen wrapped around, much as we do, a newborn infant tightly to mimic being in the womb so they would relax and sleep. When else do you remember wrappings taking place with Jesus? Say again, y'all. This burial. Guess what? It was a linen cloth. They wrapped him. Isn't it amazing that the Son of God was wrapped in swaddling clothes at his birth when he came into this world? And he was wrapped, covered again when he went out. It all fits together. It's all perfectly knitted. Truth, precept of God. This Jesus became and was the very Son of God who gave his life for you and me that our sin could be obliterated. Our sin could be gone. Our past would be obliterated and we could be atoned for. We could be covered through the shed blood of Jesus Christ from the top of our head to the soles of our feet and we could stand righteous before a holy God. And that is the only way any of us in this room can stand righteous before a holy God. And it started long before time began, but it happened at that manger when the birth of God incarnate in Jesus showed up in that humble, little, dirty feeding trough of a manger. Man, God must have really loved us, you know? And let me put that in the first person present. Jesus, he loves us now, forever. He left heaven, as the book of Paul said to the church at Philippi. He didn't stay in heaven. He became a man. And it was that sign, the angel's message. So God, and then I go back to last week. We were talking about, I think we got our message across about Emmanuel last week, the amount of times we said the word Emmanuel. The word literally means God with us. Cheek translation, God is holding us tightly against himself. He is. He's holding on tightly to us. And that's exactly what he is. He has wrapped himself around us tightly. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But then something else happens. Strap on and we'll finish. And here it is. It's called in the last thing, the angelic host's praise. Now, in the beginning of our story, we got one angel and the shepherds. And the Shekinah glory of God. That's enough to blow you away. We've already discovered that. But now we're fixing to be just not blown away. You're talking about mouth dropping. It's just, I'm speechless. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. The word host there, and you can't see this in English, is the word strateia in the Greek. Now you have to go back and do a little history in this to figure this out. But you go back and look in the scripture and you come across two specific scriptures that refer to the Hebrew equivalent in the Old Testament of this New Testament word strateia. And one of these is found in Daniel chapter 7 verse 10. You don't need to turn there. I just want you to listen to it. I'm not going back and taking the time to show you the context. I just want you to see the word right now in these verses. Daniel 7:10 says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered to them. And here's that word. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was sealed and the books were opened. Stratia, heavenly host, 10,000 times 10,000. Now, folks, you really take that literally. Yeah, that's what it says. And then Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. There is that same word again, used in the Hebrew equivalent, referring to thousands of thousands, in particular, 10,000 times 10,000. Well, folks, if my math is right, 10,000, 10K times 10K is what? 100 million. Did I write that right? Y'all be sure. I was looking at that. That's not $100 million. That's just simply 100 million. You know? Okay, we started off with one. You know, with the shepherds. We out there. Where are you going to put 100 million angels? I know they're in the sky. But can you imagine seeing 100 million angels in the sky? And the whole crowd of them are starting to sing. Well, folks, by now I think I'd be flat on my face. You know? I think I'd just say, Lord, why? It would be too overwhelming for me. One was incredible enough. 100 million? And all of them singing? Choir, you did an incredible job. I love singing with you folks. Pam, thank you. And all you guys with the sound. That song, God, I mean, His Great Love is a beautiful, beautiful song. And that was just us. And they had such a beautiful, I love this. But can you imagine? Increase that about 100 million. And see what that is like. 100 million. Wow. And what were they singing? The Bible tells us in the part B right there, they were singing, glory to God. You never heard a chorus like that, folks. Can you imagine being out there on that countryside with those shepherds, and there's 100 million angels? You're covered in the Shekinah glory of God. The angel of the Lord is standing right there with you, and all 100 million are singing. And who are they singing about? Jesus. Jesus. Whoa. They're singing, but they're singing something else. I don't want you to miss. Look what the Bible says. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. In the C part, what were they singing? They were singing, yes, glory to God, but they were singing, salvation is come. Peace. Shalom, that's the word. The word peace is a beautiful word. I love it in the Hebrew, shalom. It's just fun to say, but it's a beautiful word. They were singing glory to God, and they were singing salvation has come. Why did I use the term salvation there and then put the word peace next? Salvation, or excuse me, shalom, was a greeting. If I walked over to Miss Virginia, stuck out my hand and shook to her hand, and I wouldn't even have to shake her hand, I could just say home, shalom, my sister. Shalom, my brother. Peace. You know? It was a greeting. But you go back in the history of the word shalom, and guess what you discover? The peace that passes all understanding. When I think of peace, I think of world peace. Don't y'all? Wow, we need world peace like never before. But this word peace here, it does mean world peace, yeah. Peace on earth. But don't forget the second meaning and the deeper meaning. The second meaning is Jesus Christ has come to give you peace that is beyond all understanding. And how does he do it? Because he can save you from your sin. That's the peace. So the angel was saying to them, through the authority of God in standing in front of them, the angel was talking to them of the message of good news of great joy, which shall be to all people about the very birth of Jesus. And then the angels, all of a sudden, 100 million of them are in the sky, literally all around. I don't know if they may have been standing around. I don't know where they were, but there was 100 million of them there plus. And they were singing glory to God, and they were saying, salvation has come, and that salvation you will find in a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Wow. Do you have that kind of peace today? The peace of the angels? Do you know Jesus? Do we serve Jesus like we ought to serve Him? If all of us in this room were honest with ourselves, we would probably say no. We're trying. We're working at it. I hope this Christmas we can recommit our lives to understanding that peace. You know, the angel just wasn't talking about peace on earth from the standpoint of peace. Our world has taken it. That's its meaning. But there is no way you can get out of a study when you look at the word shalom and not see that word refer to the peace, the irene. That's the Greek word in the New Testament for peace, which are related. And those words come together to tell us the peace of Christ. Now in your heart this morning, I want you to go back to that moment in your life. If you were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 60, or 90, when you asked the Lord Jesus to come in your life. I'm not asking you for a day, date, place, or time. I'm asking you that you know for sure there's come to a place in your life where you have intentionally asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. You see, that's what the angel was telling the shepherd. That's what the angel is telling us now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You know, for a world without Christ, Christmas is just a tree and presents and nice gifts, nice this, nice that. But for the child of God, it's the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you and I can join those 100 million right here on this earth every day of our life, and we can sing glory to God, peace. And we have the privilege of opening that peace to all this world. Why? Because an angel came to the lowliest of all, and God left heaven and came to this earth for me and you. If you had been the only one ever to live on this earth, God would have come and died for you just like He had done for the countless millions who have lived, living, and will ever live if God tarries His coming. So what do we do with Christmas? What do we do with the angel's candle this week? I hope one night this week in this cold sky or cold air, I don't want you to get sick, but maybe look out your window or stand outside and just look up at those stars and just visualize, what would the sky around Hiram, Georgia look like with 100 million angels in it? You know, and go back to Luke chapter 2 and read that this week and let it become more than just Christmas. It's salvation, folks. Emmanuel. Christmas is Jesus. God is here. Wow. Let's pray. Father, I believed without a doubt, I believe without a doubt this morning in the music and the spoken word, we have together delivered your message exactly as you wanted it delivered. And Father, the response is completely in your hands, both now and as we leave here this morning. Thank you for the privilege of looking back into the story, into the truth of that account, Lord Jesus, with the shepherds and the angel and that heavenly host. And Father, we realize that we have the privilege now of taking that message, for we live on the other side not only of the manger, but of the empty tomb. And we have the privilege of sharing that message like never, ever before. Father, we can tell your story. We can tell your story because we know your story. We know it in your word. And Father, let that be our commitment this morning, that we'll walk out of this place today more committed to tell the story of Jesus. That same story, Lord, that the angel revealed to those shepherds, that 100 million, the heavenly host proclaimed from the sky itself. And then, Lord, you bring it right down here to us so that Olive Springs can go out and tell this world. Thank you, Father, for this morning, for this time of worship, and now this time of response and invitation. I pray and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.